welcome to the program. Today we continue in Matthew chapter 24 concerning the return of the Lord. If you can, have your Bible ready. In our previous messages, we've been looking here in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 7, where Jesus was finished dealing with the religious hypocrites in the temple. He said goodbye to you and your temple, or your house, in chapter 23 and verse 33. He says, your house is left unto you desolate. Back in Matthew 21 and 13, when Jesus was talking to them, he called it my house, but not anymore. Your house is left unto you desolate. Well, the disciples, they said, what about these buildings? You're not going to leave these fancy buildings to those hypocrites. Well, they didn't understand that in A.D. 70, not too far down the road, Titus would come in with his Roman soldiers and absolutely, completely destroy that building. You know, we get all wrapped up in our buildings, don't we? The situation is whether you're meeting under a tree somewhere in the wilderness or whether you're meeting in a building. What's important is the presence of the Lord and sound doctrine, not fancy bricks and glass and mortar and that sort of thing. We're living in this Laodicean age where we have our fancy buildings and Jesus is standing outside knocking on the door saying, wonder if I can get in here. No, we don't want you in here. You're going to mess things up. We have our plans and you're going to mess them up. Well, the disciples got alone with the Lord on the Mount of Olives, back where it all started when he got them on the Mount of Olives at the beginning of his ministry. Now he goes back there and he says to them, we got to talk about these things. These things. You see these things, he said, there shall not be one stone upon another. Well, they finally get their focus right and they're looking at these things which Jesus was teaching them rather than those materialistic things. And they ask, what is the sign of thy coming? When shall these things be? We've seen in our previous program that he said there would be a lot of deception and there would be a departure from the truth, and that has to do within the context of our local churches. In the world, he said there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars, there's going to be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes, but he said this is just the beginning of sorrow. Verse 8 of 24, all these things are the beginnings of sorrows. It says in Matthew 24, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Well, we're living in perilous times, that's what the Bible calls it, but the Bible also says we have an anchor that holds. Listen to this message and song. In these days of apostasy, be sure and stand true to the Lord. Be sure you're able to sing, my anchor holds.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest fennel gale on my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds. My anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, currents lurk within the deep, angry clouds or shade the sky, and the tempest rises high, still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock.
This up here in Matthew 24, verse number 8, Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows, and he begins here to talk about what's coming that has to do with the tribulation period, and then he's given us the glide path to the tribulation here, what will happen, and then in verse 21, he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. But what's going to happen during this glide path of the tribulation? He said in verse number 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, we've said many times before, when we're studying the Bible, we need to look at the interpretation and then make whatever applications we can make. The Bible says these things happen unto them, but they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, the interpretation here, when it says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations, that has to do with Israel being hated of all nations, and they have been for the last 2,000 years, and especially now that they're back in the land and they are a nation, they are hated of all nations, like Jesus said they would be. Now, there's an application here as well, and as we said, these things happen unto them, but they are written, we have a record of it, for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And we're living in this local church age here, and the situation is that genuine, born-again Christians, those who believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are going to be hated of all nations for his name's sake. That is, they will be, hate is an unjustified feeling against Christians. Why? Because they represent what Jesus represents, and they hate Christ. Well, in verse number 10, it says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Now, to offend here means to cause to stumble, to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom they should be trusting. And so it says many, many will be offended. Many will be caused to stumble. To betray is to be disloyal to a friend. And to hate, as we said, is an unjustified feeling, to feel an intense dislike for someone. We're living in that age right now, prophesied 2,000 years ago. Then he said in verse number 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Now, false prophets, we're talking here about the religious scene, and it says many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. It has been estimated there's over 4,000 religions in this world. But the genuine Christian, I'm talking about those, now we use that term Christian, you know, in this world, they talk about somebody who's not a Muslim or, you know, he's a Christian, he's this, he's that, he celebrates Christmas. No, we're talking about those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. And the sincere, genuine Christian will not be deceived by any of those 4,000 some religions. Matthew 24 is written for genuine Christians. He's talking to 11 genuine Christians and one hypocrite, his name was Judas, as they were sitting here on the Mount of Olives. Now, how can we be deceived? How are we going to be deceived? The most dangerous type of religious false prophets are what the Bible calls heretics. And we've said before, the only time that heretics are referred to in the Bible, it's talking about Christians promoting false doctrine. Again, 2 Peter 2, verse number 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people. Yes, there is. As we said, over 4,000 different religions, lots of false prophets among the people. But Peter goes on to say, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily will bring in a damnable heresy. Now listen, even denying the Lord that bought them. We've said before, that word bought has been translated redeemed three times. There will be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that redeemed them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, as we said again, because it's such an important issue, it was Christians, fundamental independent Baptist Christians, who said, you don't need to repent. You know, that's an enemy of soul winning. What you need to do is just believe and then pray a prayer and you'll go to heaven. No, you won't. You can believe. The devil believes. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. If you're going to be saved, we need to be convicted of the Holy Spirit of our sin. If that happens in our lives, the first thing that we will do is we will be convicted to repent of our sins. If we do that, then we are in the place where we can ask God to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins, as has been taught for the last 2,000 years. But no, in these days now, you can't. You're not going to build a big church by getting people to tell them they have to repent. That's humiliating. No, just tell them they have to believe and they'll buy that, and then you can join the church. And that's why a lot of churches that used to be fundamental churches are now rock and roll centers. They've taken the word Baptist off their sign and they've got black ceilings and drums and crazy lights and strobe lights and all that stuff. And they still call them churches, but that's where it's going on today, because we filled our people who have voted for Jesus and no more saved than a computer that you can put the right information in and it'll vote for Jesus, but it won't go to heaven. And that's the age that we're living in today. There are many false prophets also among the people. Yes, there is. But there'll be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in a damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that redeemed them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's what we have going on in our so-called fundamentalism today. And as we've said again and again, here we are, somebody changing the plan of salvation. That's all right. We get all upset about other doctrines, but, you know, oh, well, we better see what kind of music we're listening to. Yeah, that's very important. I'm not saying that's not important. Oh, we better have these standards of haircuts and dress and so on. That's very important. But nothing is more important than the plan of salvation. And oh, you can change the plan of salvation. Oh, you can deny the Lord that bought you and say some false doctrine and bring that hypocrisy into the fundamental churches. And the biggest percentage, by about 98% of the churches that call themselves fundamental independent Baptist churches, those pastors are strangely silent about this subject. There's another dangerous group, and that's what we call ear-tickling pastors. The Bible says the time will come when the people will not endure sound doctrine, but they, after their own lust or desire, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Yeah, tickle my ears. And the Bible says in verse 4, and they, that is these ear-tickling pastors, shall turn away their ears, those who want their ears tickled. They'll turn their ears from the truth, and they'll be turned into fables. Fundamentalism is more to it than what is being preached. Our problem today is what is not being preached. It is unbelievable that we could change the plan of salvation and nobody's getting excited about it. That's the age we're living in. It's called the Laodicean Church. Well, how can we be protected from this false doctrine that is going around today? Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, referring to those in Berea, says they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things we sow. That's the secret. Receive the word with readiness of mind. But if we're going to say now we better go back and check what Paul the Apostle said, maybe you better go back and check what I'm saying right now. You shouldn't believe anything you hear on this broadcast unless you check the scriptures and see if it be so. They receive the word of God with readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. 2 Timothy 4:4, and they, that is, the ear-tickling pastors, shall turn away their ears, those who want their ears tickled. They'll turn away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Years ago, A.W. Tozer put it this way, whatever originates outside the scriptures should for that very reason be suspect until it can be shown to be in accord with them. If it should be found to be contrary to the word of revealed truth, no Christian will accept it as being from God. However high the emotional content, no experience can be proved to be genuine unless we can find chapter and verse authority for it in the scriptures. End of quote. Once again, they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things be so.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Let me prepare. with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Oh,